invasive form of boat, like a canoe, like the Indians. Do you think the Indians had fishing licenses, by the way?
I know for a fact they did not.
No, I think they believed it was a God-given right to go out and catch fish if you wanted to, or spear, or however you wanted to do them.
Right, right. Let me feed my family.
Boy, if you fished like an Indian, like a Native American did, you'd be thrown in jail today.
Yeah?
It seems to make, it's just another way of government controlling and bringing in more revenue.
Well, Ken, have you ever been asked while you're out there fishing on your lakeside or your streamside, have you ever been asked by a ranger or a policeman to show your license?
Not in Illinois, I don't think I ever have. I have in Indiana.
Really?
But you know what, you have to be at a popular spot, I think, for that to occur. And I generally fish, I canoe rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And fish the rivers, and that's very unlikely you're going to get stopped at somebody like that. But a popular, I mean, in Indiana, it was on Lake Monroe near Indiana University, and it was like off a bridge, you know, off a popular spot off a bridge.
Right, right. Well, I've gotten my license like every year for the last 20 years, and I've never been asked.
Well, yeah, it doesn't happen. I think that was the only time I had been asked. And the thing I really object to, and it's really not even much so much, it's not the money. It's the fact that now and here's your stupid regulation. There we go. I knew it would come. Every state I've checked lately, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, they all require social security numbers now.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, social security number originally, when it was the Social Security Act was passed, they said that number should be used for Social Security purposes only. And, of course, it's used for a wide variety of things now, and I think illegally. The reasoning behind it is they want to catch all the deadbeat dads.
Hmm.
They're not going to allow deadbeat dads to fish. So, and if anybody's been, I haven't, but I've heard enough stories. Anybody's been through the court system as far as child support is concerned, usually, or very, very often, I should say, I don't know about usually, I don't know that for a fact, but very often, the guys are just getting, and there's unrealistic impositions posed on them as far as financial impositions for child support. And it's really tough. So you lose your job. It becomes really tough. For some of these guys, and then of course throw these guys in jail. They throw them in jail, and I don't know how they expect people to earn a living and support their children from jail. I imagine I might get some calls from irate women who say, so and so was a deadbeat dad, and he deserves to be thrown in jail. And maybe that's true, but I just know enough personally of people who are very sincere in trying to, you know, support their children, but just can't support to the extent that the court's imposed in the divorce proceedings. So, at any rate, but that's the reasoning behind, getting back to the fishing, that's the reason behind they're asking for Social Security numbers, and I just think that's outrageous. And one should have nothing to do with the other.
You're right.
I mean, if a deadbeat dad is a deadbeat dad and it legitimately needs to be punished in some way, fine. But it shouldn't be an imposition on the rest of the fishing. Fisher person population, I don't think. So, anyway, we are going to have an open line today. Anything about politics, law, economics, or philosophy is welcome. I'm going to talk, I think, a little bit about 911, whether or not the government's version of what happened to 911 is true, or whether or not one should question it. And I'm really amazed at some people how they were willing to believe so many other conspiracy theories, such as the JFK assassination and others, but for some reason they decided not to think about this one, that for the government to be complicit at all in 911 is beyond the pale. It's beyond what it just can't be believed that anybody in the government could have encouraged such a horrific event. And I'd like to delve into the psychology of that a little bit, and also just the fact of whether or not government who was implicit. I complicit. I don't know. I think it's something. There are too many unanswered questions. There are too many distortions of fact by the official version for me to just outright believe the government's version of 9-1-1. So we'll get into that a little bit. Maybe get into the Iraq War and the Middle East peace and. And, oh, maybe some series of JonBenet. I don't know. That's not usually our fair. But this guy, have you seen the eyes on this guy?
I have.
Oh, my God. Does he look scary?
That's a good word. Yeah, he does look scary.
He looks scary, and he looks like he's just eating up, reveling in the attention of 15 minutes of fame. I don't believe for a minute. I believe this guy is a child molester, no doubt. But I don't believe for a minute that he's the JonBenet killer. There's too many contradictions, including his ex-wife, who said she was with him that whole Christmas time that when JonBenet was killed.
I don't know. Doesn't he know a lot about it that no one else knows?
Well, the thing is, he was communicating with that one professor.
Uh-huh.
Evidently, there was back and forth, and the professor knew some of these things that people aren't supposed to know. So it's possible that he has some information some information the professor did it by his own research, and I think some of this could have been also conclusions.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's true. If you and I sat down and really researched any particular item, we'd probably come up with a lot of conclusions that maybe.
Yeah, I think you could draw some conclusions.
Absolutely.
I mean, but the fact that the ex-wife said he wasn't even around.
Yeah.
That tells me a lot. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if there's any DNA. I would have thought they would have had tried a little DNA matchup before they brought him back from Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll. We'll see. But at any rate, it seems to me, what I think is going on is that these guys just reveling in the notoriety and the attention.
That's insane in itself, though.
It is. It absolutely is. It absolutely is.
You know, this guy's off his rocker to begin with.
Absolutely. I think that's something I think most people would agree with.
You know, did you notice how Thailand couldn't wait to get rid of him either? From our country.
Right, yeah, you could have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's pretty amazing in and of itself, considering that the city of Bangkok is in Thailand.
Right, right.
They allow just about everything there, right?
Right, right.
So, anyway, okay, open line today, folks. Anything about politics, law, economics, or philosophies, welcome. The phone number is 847-931-1410. Give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Okay, we are back with Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. Open line. Give us a call. And we do have some people on the line. Let's go right to the phones. And hello, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Ken. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Hey, listen. Last week, the sister station to you guys had an illegal immigrant on for 2 hours.
Slow down. Who had an illegal immigrant on for 2 hours?
WBIG.
Oh, sister station. Okay. You know that. Well, you know this program's independent, don't you? Do you realize that I'm not hired by the WRMN? This is an independent program, and we pay for the time and sell ads, our own ads. So I just want to make that clear, because a lot of times you say your sister station as if I'm an employee of WRMN, and I'm not. So I just want to make that clear.
No, I'm at the station there, not you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is that they had an illegal immigrant on there for 2 hours explaining her plight, and the sob story went on, and it was just sickening. What I did was call them up and say, okay, that's fine and dandy. You know, let's hear the other side of the story. Let's get somebody's point of view that's came in, you know, that's come into this country legally and gone through the system. And, you know, you get the blind side from it. It's okay. And, you know, I like the two people that are running the program, but it comes to a point where they're not serious about it. It's just another show. And, quite frankly, it's gone downhill. And the issues that you bring up on the show are much more important than what they have. They're turning into like a soap opera now. It's starting to turn into something like Entertainment Tonight or something. That's all they talk about anymore is entertainment stuff. They give a rat's patootie about, you know, the State of the Union or anymore.
Right.
The reason I'm calling in and saying this is because I am just so sick and tired of hearing people not even give a hoot about stuff. You know, it's like, oh, my neighbor's a good example of what's going on. He doesn't know the first thing about how the money aspect works in the school district. He'll pass any referendums out there just to get more money for schools. When in fact, you look at where I'm at in Geneva, we're paying through the nose for school district funds. And I've been an advocate of more efficient spending with this district. You know, let's do some cuts in the administration office.
But it's for the children. It's for the children.
Huh?
Don't you know, Jeff? But it's for the children.
Well, that's
all they have to say. That's all the school board has to say, or the school administrators have to say. And a lot of the people you're talking about, they just automatically react. Well, if it's for the children, then we're going to have to pay more.
What's the same?
They don't think it out. They don't check it out. They don't understand that, first of all, that there has been no study that's ever shown that there's any positive correlation between spending and student achievement. number one. It's one of the biggest lies in the world that if you throw more money at education, you get better achievements from students. Not true.
I've got comparisons, by the way. My folks live in a house that's about the same size as mine, and they're out in California. And they're in a bigger city. They're like three times the size. And they're paying a third of what I am in property taxes. In fact,
that's
some of the tax bills are better.
That's because they had a property tax revolution back in, what was it, the early 80s? Prop, I forget what it was, but they still can't sell property taxes down there in California.
It's ridiculous, though, Kenneth. I mean, I'd love to stay in this town. I love Geneva, but I got to tell you, anybody that lives here anymore, especially at, you know, the west side of town, is being driven out of their house. They complain about not getting enough tax revenues, and I know Tom Sandor probably explains it better than I do, but, you know, Elgin's much bigger, but here's the problem with Geneva. Every time a problem crops up or a budget crisis crops up, the first person they go to is the public, you know, 23,000 people. They want to say, okay, let's tax 23,000 people, you know, 4 or 5 cents on it. Whatever it is they're going to tax, the next thing you know is you're paying $200 to $300 more every year.
Well,
for God knows how long. Now,
the teachers union
now, or I'm paying $1,000 more every year to live in just to live in Geneva. It's ridiculous.
The teachers' unions control most of the school boards in this state. That's just a fact. And so, as teachers' pensions keep on going up, then of course. More and more bureaucracy eats up the tax revenues through administrators that have to administer the all the regulations imposed by the federal and state government. There's no room left except for to ask more and more money from the taxpayers because you can't. Well, see, the taxpayers can't go on strike, right? Teachers can go on strike, but the taxpayers can. I think there's something a little bit unfair right there. Well, shouldn't the taxpayers be able to go on strike, too, then, if they feel like, well, you know, it's costing too much money?
Yeah,
if teachers can go on strike, then the taxpayers should be able to go on strike, too.
But the
mentality, as you say, Jeff, the mentality in this country is not to rock the boat, unfortunately. I don't know. For me, I feel like I'm living in the wrong era.
Oh, exactly. I wish if I was born, I wish I was born, you know, 50 years earlier. You know, because this is ridiculous. You know, sooner or later,
I would
say
two,
for me, that we're in such a world of hurt financially that I could see a depression setting in. It's already beginning. I mean, houses are overpriced, cars are overpriced. I mean, and people, unfortunately and unfortunately, you're starting to learn a little bit of a lesson. The guy that buys a house for $600,000 or $700,000 or $500,000 or whatever it is, now is going to be sitting on a dump. In maybe a decade or so, he'll never get the money out of it because we're on our way down as far as the housing trend goes. And if you look at the way everything's happening nowadays, I'm sorry. I mean, sooner or later, the middle class is going to be with the bottom class, and it's already happening. I mean, I make an honest living. Now, just like you, I have to bust my hump every day to find people, you know, to do what I got to do to get my job done. But it doesn't make any difference. You can work an 80-hour or 90-hour work week or whatever, as many hours as you can. You still don't make enough because Uncle Sam and the state are doofus down there in the state capital takes it all away. So the more you make, the more they take, the more they want you suppressed. And to me, it's almost like a socialist state. But anyway, I'm going to get out and...
All right, well, I appreciate your comments. I agree with a lot of that, Jeff. And I just call it fascist. It's all fascist socialist. There's not much difference.
Yeah.
Of course, Nazi is national socialism. That's what Nazi means. I'll just throw that out. But no, we do not live in a free country. In a free country, you're not paying the kind of taxes that people pay today, that's for sure. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
All right. Let's move on. We have Grace. Hi, Grace.
Grace got tired of waiting for Jeff.
Okay.
So, Grace, if you're out there, give us a call back, 847-931-1410.
Well, okay. Let's see. 911. You know, the thing that gets me, Mike, is that it's over time there have been so much manipulation by government to get us into wars. You can go all the way back to the Spanish-American War where the slogan was Remember the Maine. And there were like 276 military men killed when the Maine was sunk Well, supposedly, you know, remember the main, the reason we got in the Spanish-American War was that Spain had had sunk the Maine, but later on it was found out that it was most likely internal malfunction in the ship. And you go from there, you go to World War One, where Lusitania was sunk by Germany after warnings, because the Great Britain was running these merchant ships carrying carrying military cargo. So I mean, there was some just. I mean, this not doesn't justify killing innocent people. It never does. But that was an excuse to get in World War One, which killed a lot of people. Then we had Pearl Harbor in World War Two, where over 2,000 U.S. military were killed. And it is now really absolute standard fact that U.S. naval intelligence had broken the code, the Japanese code. And one can easily surmise that if they broke the code, they knew that the attack on Pearl Harbor was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the military at Pearl Harbor were not warned of that. Now, there may be some question as far as who made the decision or how high did it go up. Was it just the Secretary of the Navy that made the decision, or did it go up to Roosevelt? But at any rate, it seems to me that those 2,000 lives were sacrificed in order to get us into World War II. America was in an isolationist attitude at the time, and they did not want to get it in any kind of war. And it seems to be very likely that those men were allowed to die to get us into that war. Then you go to the Vietnam so-called war, Gulf of Tonkin, and the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, which really got America into the war big time in Vietnam. The Gulf of Tonkin incident was a manufactured incident. It never happened. It was manufactured by the Pentagon in order to get America involved in the Vietnam War. That resulted in the 66,000 deaths, U.S. military, and over 2 million Vietnamese. Now, considering all of those sacrificed deaths, most of them were sacrificed by government, why is it so difficult to suggest the possibility that those in control of the administration, of the Bush administration, maybe not George W. himself, because I think he's just a puppet, encouraged. What is so difficult to understand that they may have encouraged or allowed to happen, the 9-1-1 tragic incident, where 2,000 to 3,000 people were killed? I mean, the government's been responsible for a lot more deaths than that. And the Patriot Act had been written years and years and years before, very easily passed after 9-1-1 happened. And all of a sudden we're in this war against Islamic fascism because of it. A war that the neocons are right up in front of wanting to get into. And they want an American empire in the Middle East. It's right in their websites. Why do people? I'd like to understand why people are so. So many people are just they're stopping it. You know, they'll believe in the JFK assassination, but no, nobody could have been that horrible to allow that kind of thing to happen as happened 9-1-1. Well, I'm sorry. History has shown that mentality, that government mentality, is all too willing to sacrifice people for what they think is the greater good in the long run. And I'd like to see some responses on that before we ever get into the specifics. But it seems to me one should be open to anything and not have any knee-jerk response for any kind of conspiracy theory, and not have any knee-jerk response against any conspiracy theory. I think everything should be weighed, but from all the discrepancies I've heard, I do question the official story. There's that janitor by name of Rodriguez who swears that he heard explosions from below, and he was in the basement. He was in the low level 2 basement. He heard explosions from like level 4 before there was any explosions on top. There's also a fireman that has tried to testify for the 911 commission that no way that building could have just pancaked as it did, as fast as it did. There are engineers who have said that the only thing that could have pancaked the Twin Towers the way it did would have been a controlled demolition. And I know there's other experts that say otherwise, but all I'm saying, I'm not smart enough to know. I'm not an engineer. I'm not smart enough to know either way. But it seems to me it should raise some questions in people's mind, and it should not just automatically turn it off because it's so horrific. So I'd love to any of the opinions on that, too. 847-931-1410. This is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. We will be back after a few messages.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need email or internet setup and training? Call John. Want to simply learn to do things faster? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want a new computer system set up? Call John. Need fast, convenient repairs? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
2/3 of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Okay, we are back with Freedom Rings, and let's go right back to the phones. We have Grace back. Hello, Grace.
Good morning. Ken, H.L. Mencken said, no one ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American people.
Right.
And this is like the Reichstag fire to me, all these incidents that happened. Now, when Theodore Roosevelt wanted to go to war with Spain, he talked to his good friend, William Randolph Hearst.
Right.
Hearst said, give me the photographs and I'll give you your war.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's where the term yellow journalism comes from, I believe.
Yeah. And Hermann Göring, when he was sitting in the dock at Nuremberg, he was asked, he said, how do you get people to go to war? He said, you frighten them.
Yep.
Fear. What I called about was grim history repeats itself for Lebanon rescue worker. Now, maybe you've seen this on the computer. I don't have one. Salem Dahar, alias the Green Helmet, has been photographed in two wars carrying dead after attacks in Quanah. Now, he's worked in civil defense since he's been 19 years old. He's been in civil defense for 20 years. He's been photographed with the bodies of the dead in two wars. First in 1966 and most recently with the baby on July 30th. Now, the websites, I'm sure they're neocon, have labeled him the Green Helmet and accused him of being a member of the Hezbollah guerrilla group. They're showing off bodies as propaganda.
You're saying they're showing the same picture of the same guy from 1966 as today?
Yes, because he's been a civil defense worker for 20 years. He said 10 years ago on April 18th, 1996, Dahar was one of the first to arrive in Cana after Israeli artillery shells slammed into a UN compound where 800 Lebanese had taken shelter. The attack killed 106 people and wounded 160 more. There, Dahar was photographed holding up the mutilated body of a child, one of many victims he carried out that day. I took the emergency call. It was the first one to go. First, there were 40 injured we took out, and then I saw the dead people in the camp. The compound was full of wood, and there were bodies hanging from the roof because of the force of the bomb. And then he said about the latest bombing. After hours of digging, Dahar emerged with the youngest victim. In a parched voice, he shouted something in Arabic and held the child up for the photographer. To many in the West, such photographs are surprising, but they are not unusual in the Middle East, where grief and drama are often intertwined, and that can include displaying of bodies. Now, who is against the Lebanese showing off their dead?
Who's against that?
The Israelis show off theirs.
I don't think we have an objective, accurate, objective-sided view of this situation in the Middle East and Lebanon, do you? Obviously, there is an undue influence on the media, American media, to present the side of Israel. There's no question about it. That's just a fact.
Absolutely.
And whatever Israel does, right or wrong, one thing is clear in my mind, and that is that the United States government has no authority and no right, and by no rational means should be subsidizing any foreign policy, any weaponry for any country outside the United States.
Absolutely.
Including Israel, including Egypt, including any other country in the world. And a lot of these innocent people being killed, the blood is on the American government for subsidizing the defense of Israel and others.
That's why Condi Rice and Bush postponed the ceasefire, because they wanted to knock out Hezbollah. And then
I think Israel just wants to I think they probably used up a lot of their weaponry and they're waiting for the next shipment.
Yeah.
Before they start bombing again.
Well, they put on another attack, was it Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah.
They broke the truce. No one says anything. Thank you, Ken.
It's a sad situation. Thank you, Grace. I appreciate your call. Hello, Dan. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
I can't hear a thing. Mike, I can't hear a thing. Is Dan on?
No. Hello?
Yes, that's a lot better.
Okay. I just wonder, I posed this question, years and years ago. I think we are still involved in, over 140 countries or something?
Yes,
We have
American servicemen in the last count I heard is 144 or more countries.
Now, if we go back over the last, let's just go back 50 years,
mm-hmm.
with all of the, quote, foreign aid, American presence, and, yada, 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 and use whatever figure you want, how much money would we have spent overseas helping someone else out? Could we not have, by the time you add all this up, a nice $150,000 house for every person, maybe a hybrid car?
Probably more than that. I don't know what the figures are, but you're right, Dan. It's astronomical.
We could have, enough solar cells on every rooftop, maybe, so that we wouldn't need any foreign oil at all. I think the problem is the American people, like you mentioned, they'll believe the Kennedy, conspiracy, but not the 9/11. Now, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to be smart enough to know whether this was a conspiracy, whether it was a consensus of a few to get us into the war, to pass the Patriot Act, to take away more of our rights. So, I don't know. I'm not high enough to
mm-hmm.
figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible? I think so. Take a look, and somebody says, well, there's too many people involved. How do you keep a secret that long? Wasn't it, I think, right after World War II that they did, if I remember right, it was syphilis tests on blacks?
Was it after World War II or the early 50s? But, yeah, at the
after World War II.
Was it the Tuskegee Institute?
Well, I don't remember all the details. How long was that?
It was on servicemen. It was on black servicemen, and if they had syphilis, they didn't tell them.
Yeah, and
they purposely did not tell them to use them as guinea pigs.
Yeah, the radioactive tests that they did, on most likely servicemen, who knows, maybe civilians too, in the 50s, whatever. How long was that kept secret before we learned
it? It was kept for a long time. And think of this: think of all the witnesses. And the JFK conspiracy experts can back me up on this. I believe it was over 125 witnesses were murdered, or met very strange
met
deaths.
Very strange deaths. Yeah.
They were witnesses of the JFK assassination. And so, doesn't it make sense to think that if the government was perpetrating something, that by fear they're going to shut most people up?
Well, wasn't it also, we could go back not even that far back, wasn't there the conspiracy theory with, I think it was Ron Brown, secretary of whatever it was in the cabinet, and his plane mysteriously disappears off the radar screen or whatever. So is it possible? I would think absolutely yes. Is it provable? Now, there's the key.
At this point, certainly it is not provable. But you do have eyewitness accounts, for starters. But it's very hard to prove when the government destroys all the evidence.
Yeah, well, you take a look at the one down in Oklahoma City. I can't remember the federal building that's in the state.
The Mira building.
Yeah, there you go. How long was that building up before it was completely dismantled, destroyed, and taken away before anybody could do any actual study as to...
Right, and they did the same thing with 911, too.
Same
thing. They hauled off the material, and so that no forensic, real true forensic test could be made. You have to start questioning. I think any rational, logical person should start to question an official story when there's a cover-up involved.
Well, I look at the 9/11. Is it possible that, you know, whether there was a consensus, whether the neocons, whatever, got involved with, knew ahead of time, that's a possibility. Was there, you know, preset explosives and all? I don't know until you can figure out what happens to, I think one of those airliners carries, what, about 50,000 gallons of fuel.
Right.
If a lot of that fuel is dropping down through the elevator shaft, and, you know, that's causing an explosion. I don't know.
I'll tell you, you know what? What I'd like to see, Dan, is I would like to see the top engineer who supports the official government line debate the top engineer who supports the so-called conspiracy theory.
Hey,
see, on live television on C-SPAN. Let them go at it, because I'm not smart enough. I'm not an engineer. I can't determine that myself. I do know that, and I think then the truth would come out. If you saw a debate on with these two individuals at each other. I do know this, Dan. The first time I saw those buildings collapse, I was incredulous. I said, oh, my God. I remember just saying, oh, my God. How could that happen? In my mind, I was like, how could just a plane up in the 52nd floor or whatever it is, how could that bring about a complete total collapse of the building? I couldn't believe it. And I bought the official version for a long time. Until I started hearing alternative theories. And then the alternative theories made more sense for what I first thought I saw. Because what I first thought I saw looked, and if you look at planned demolitions of buildings, it's the pancaking of the building, it looks just like that.
Well, not to take the government side of things,
mm-hmm.
but I could understand, and I've watched a number of, like, the Discovery Channel, Learning Channel, and, you know, how the buildings were built and that type of thing. And when you have a main core in the middle as one of the supporting structures, you take out the middle core, what's going to happen? Yeah, that's how they do the planned demolitions. They pull the core out first to make sure everything collapses inside. So if it was the impact of the plane, if it was the fire that melted the steel, you know, whatever it was, I could completely understand how that would have happened with the way that structure was made.
Well, look, the conspirators would say that that material free fell too fast for If it came from on top, if the explosion came from on top, it couldn't fall that fast. Now, I don't know
that's true.
I'm just saying what they're saying.
Yeah, that's, again, somebody's theory. How many times in the past have you had a 1,000-foot-tall building where you've had, you know, the weight of, let's say, 10 floors put onto one floor, and then those 11 are onto the 12th and so forth and so on? So I don't know that anybody has done or could do an actual real-life scenario to prove one way or the other. I think both of them are theories.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not, without actually doing the whole, and maybe you could do it through a computer, but then, of course, whoever's writing the computer program, you know, is going to, if they have a bias one way or the other, is going to prove it either way. So
well, then that's why I think a debate format where one can challenge the other's presuppositions, let's say, their computer model. I mean, if you have one expert challenging another expert on their models, I think sometimes the truth wills out. You can hear who's telling the truth and who's not. But I understand what your point of view is. Yeah, it does depend on it always depends on the premises that you come from.
Right, will
determine the conclusion you go to. It becomes to who sounds more believable.
Right. I watched the Ed Begley 9/11 DVD, and I was looking at what they were using as the rationale for explosions and so forth, and just a common person thinking, okay, wait a minute. If you have, I think one of the things I remember, they were showing the steel that was shot out from the building as it was starting to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have these metal walls or whatever it is, take a bobby pin, for that matter, and bend it and then let it fly, of course it's going to shoot out. Well, if these walls were put under pressure and the metal was bent and then it flew out, that wouldn't be caused by the explosion. That would just be caused by the stress on it. So I could see, you know, either way, you know, you could prove any of it whichever way you want to.
Yeah,
but you're right. I think a debate between the two might be an outstanding idea.
Oh, I'd love to see that. Dan, thanks for your call. I got
a good one.
Okay, Mike, do we have a chance for Wendell for a minute, maybe?
Yeah, let's get Wendell on.
All right, real quick, Wendell. Hello.
Oh, I'm more than afraid, and that guy who just theorized sounds like Mel Gibson's conspiracy theory on your show today.
It sounds like what? I'm sorry.
Mel Gibson's conspiracy.
Oh, Mel Gibson's conspiracy theory?
Yeah. But what I want to say is that you shouldn't be thinking that badly of our leader, Mr. Bush, because you have to break an omelet to make some eggs, and we have a greater threat. And people don't understand that sometimes you have to help people understand what the greater threat is by getting them to recognize a smaller threat.
It's the window. It sounds like you're agreeing with us that it's possible that they created this incident to break a few eggs in order to go after the greater threat.
Well, I don't know that they created the incident, but the problem is Islamofascism.
Mm-hmm.
And our great democracy cannot... that's the great enemy, is Islamofascists, because they have completely different rules. They don't have corporations, and they don't have banking the same way. They don't charge interest.
Yeah, heaven forbid.
Well, the great evil
is now Islamic fascism, as the great evil was Goldstein in 1984.
I don't know what that is, but
you never read 1984 by George Orwell?
Oh, that yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's.
All right, I got you. Wendell, I appreciate your call. I really do appreciate it. I have to run. Thanks for your call. We'll be back after a few messages.
Nothing.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Ring to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Ring. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Ring, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, 1 block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Okay, we are back on to the quotation of the week. This is from Joseph Sobran back in 1991. War has all the characteristics of socialism that most conservatives hate. Centralized power, state planning, false rationalism, restricted liberties, foolish optimism about intended results, and blindness to an unintended secondary result.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.